she is right there. That's me at Thermopolis.
Glamour. Romance. Fame. Mia Thermopolis had it all. But only in her dreams.
As always, this is as good as it's gonna get.
Her real life was completely ordinary.
You're way tense.
But now, something's about to happen.
Your grandmother called.
This is the first time she's ever contacted us. What you want?
That will change everything.
I am queen of Genovia.
Whoa, whoa.
And you are princess.
Shut up!
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I'm having a lot of fun.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the Broadcast Book Club. The broads read books. Did we decide?
No. VJ came up with one and then I think we ignored her.
She came up with two and then we didn't decide. So we'll figure it out.
I gave it an emoji, so I didn't fully ignore her.
I did too, I think. So this is our way to cope with how depressing sports and the world is. We're going back and reliving our teen reading lives. So we are going to once a month go back and read a book from our youth. And this month it's Princess Diaries by Meg Cabot, which
the goat. Meg Cabot,
honestly, one of the greatest writers. She has so many books and I forgot about how good they are, but some of them are like my comfort reads. Like I read at least twice a year. They're just so good. She went all
this
the way.
This was probably the first time I read her since high school.
Oh, really?
Long time.
Wow.
Yeah, I had not reread her. I do think I reread All American Girl, which is one of my faves. It's the one where she accidentally saves the president from getting shot and then also starts dating his son.
Yes.
Great stuff. It was the blueprint for Red, White, and Royal Blue. They plagiarized that. But she's incredible. And honestly, you should, if you have not reread The Princess Diaries or if you haven't read it, you should reread it. Because also it only takes an hour to read.
Super fast rereading. I said this to Mal before you came on, Sam. It translates really well to the modern Twitter user brain because it reads like a very long tweet thread.
Yeah.
Because it's epistolary, so it's her diary, literally. So it's super fast read because it's epistolary. Is it epistolary?
I'm pretty sure it's epistolary. You kept saying
I never
that,
say
I didn't
it
know
right.
If it was just a Canadian epistolary thing, or if you actually were just mispronouncing it.
I never say it right, and then I always remember. Okay, epistolary. Yes. You don't have to deal with messy plots or crazy in-depth back stuff from characters, which is really nice. Okay, the plan for these episodes is we're gonna do we'll start with just a mini discussion of the books, and then we have categories. And we'll go through them when we get to the categories. And then at the end for books like this one or Sister of the Traveling Pants or whatever, where there's a movie, we'll end by talking about the adaptation a little bit. So I guess to start, background on the book, published in 2000, it's 240 pages, maybe. How long is it?
Yeah, it's
short.
It's one of those books where it's in the 200s, but it's pretty large print.
Spent 38 weeks in the bestseller. It's the first in a series of, I think there's 14 total books / novellas. The last one was published in 2015. It was called it was something about a royal wedding.
There were way more than I knew there were.
Yeah, there's 14. And she also wrote a romance book that was written by Mia Thermopolis, but Meg Cabot wrote it, called Ransom My Heart. And then more recently, she spun it off into the Olivia Grace series. And Olivia Grace is Mia's like biracial half-sister who appears at the in the very last book of the series randomly. And so that's like the new kind of even more YA series, I guess. I actually couldn't find that much about, I thought there would be like maybe some, you know, those like nostalgic think pieces on this book, but really they're just all about the movie. The only fact I got is that she wrote the book partially was inspired by her own life because her dad died and her mom started, like when she started dating again, she dated her high school, one of her high school teachers. And then that's it. That's all I got. I don't know if you guys have any facts about the book. Mal?
I mean, I don't. I mean, like, the thing is that actually, like, I know we were going to talk about the differences between in, like, the movie adaptation at the end, mm-hmm. but it's so different from the movie, which the movie came out really soon after.
Yeah.
The movie came out in 01, in, so, like, July, too. So
yeah, it was, like, boom, boom.
Yeah, super fast. So, although, like, if you read, like, all of the books, there are like one of like the great thing is there's just like so many good side characters that like have their own like fun personalities, and I think that was really missing from the movie. And I think that mm-hmm. a lot of it just seems like I feel like I have like a new appreciation for this, and I literally am reading all of them.
Yeah,
I just started the third one.
It's like Game of Thrones.
It's so good. Like, I can't stop reading it.
Yeah, there are a lot of differences. Yeah, which we can like fully dive into at the end. Namely, or as we go. Like,
her dad is alive. Her dad yeah. is a main character in the.
Yeah. And also it's set in New York, obviously. So I guess like very brief synopsis for people who maybe haven't seen, read it or seen the movie, or maybe you have and you just want a reminder.
If you haven't, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, literally. The book is epistolary. It's Mia Thermopolis's diary that's given to her by her mom after her mom starts dating her algebra teacher, Mr. Giannini. And she starts keeping this diary. She goes to Albert Einstein High School. She has her best friend, Lily Moskowitz. She's a freshman, so she's 14 years old, which for me was the most shocking part of this. 14! Her best friend's Lily Moskowitz. They're kind of like super nerdos. She's like 5'9".
They're not that nerdy though. I think that yeah, they're, no, in the they're movie, like they're mid. Shown as a lot more nerdy than they are. Yeah. Whereas they go to like some like rich, like international, like prep school.
Upper
like,
East it's Side.
Just a yeah. bunch of them are like, they're not yeah. like really nerdy. They're just some high school kids.
They're just
like,
high school kids. Lily has her older brother, Michael Moskowitz, who she kind of has a crush on.
Blah, who blah, is blah, a blah. Senior.
Who's a senior. We'll get to that in What's Age the Worst. and she finds out, so her dad has recently recovered from a bout of chemotherapy after getting diagnosed with cancer. And she finds
testicular
out.
Testicular cancer.
She finds out he can't have any more kids. And this is the problem because she finds out her dad is the Prince of Genovia, which is a kind of like Monaco-esque country in Europe near France and Italy in that area. And so she's now the sole heir to the throne. How you can be dumb enough not to know this.
One of my favorite things in this book is... So I think that like it makes in the movie, they try to like play it off as like being like, oh, her mom kept this from her and her dad's not alive. The great thing about this, which is she is 14 and the amount of situations where she just did not pay attention. One part is that she spends her summers like with her dad, at like some like French resort. She's just like, I don't know. He's rich.
She gets escorted off the plane. And just thinks
and she's like, he's a frequent flyer.
I did also like the part, like speaking of Oblivious, where she's like, she was 11 and didn't know what Frenching meant.
Yes, that was very funny.
That is really good. Speaking of Oblivious, she does a school report on Genovia. sees that they have a prince, does not recognize that as her father's name because there's too many like titles in it. Like, you know, like
because he has hair in the photo.
And
because he has
hair. Because
that's obviously like game.
And she's
changer.
Like, my dad's bald, so I don't know what you're talking about. So funny.
Okay, so she finds this out. The plan is that she needs to move to Genovia. And then she freaks out. They make a deal that she's going to stay at Albert Einstein High School, but her grandmother's going to come and give her princess lessons. Her grandmother is like a fucking chain-smoking sociopath.
She's not a sociopath. I feel like that's hard. I will say that she is Lucille Bluth.
She's Lucille
Bluth.
She's
tamed down Lucille Bluth.
Yeah.
Like,
And so now she's princess, doesn't want anyone at the high school to know, blah, blah, blah. From there, like, she stops being friends with Lily for a reason, which we'll get into. I don't even know how to explain that. And then everyone finds out that she's a princess. Meanwhile, we're leading up to the cultural diversity dance. And she gets
asked. She doesn't
asked
have a date.
By, she doesn't have
Everybody
a date.
Has a date.
And she ends up getting asked by
Tina Hakim Baba.
Yeah. Yeah. She becomes friends with Tina Hakim Baba, who's the daughter of like an basically like a sheikh from Saudi Arabia, who like owns
like
a billion
oil
tycoon.
Guy.
Yeah. And ends up going to the dance with Joshua Richter, who basically just wants to use her for paparazzi. There's like, it's actually a really simple plot. It's just what makes the book really good is the crazy cuckoo bananas characters that are in this story and the crazy side things that happen to them. And also like just the style of her writing, which is she does. I was joking about like, how can you be stupid enough to not know that you're a princess? Like whatever, but she's just oblivious. Like there's so many moments in the book where you understand
she's 14.
She's 14. And like, that is what it's like when you're like the biggest thing in your world is like how big your boobs are going to be. And like, whether or not you've kissed a boy, you're not exactly thinking about like geopolitics. So, did
Except
I miss
the
anything?
Thing is that
from
also
the plot?
She is thinking about geopolitics because her dad is paying $100 to Greenpeace every single day she goes to her princess lessons.
It's so good.
Do you think that the princess lessons make more sense in this? Because an important thing is that she speaks to her grandmother in French all the time.
Yeah.
Which they didn't bother doing on screen or anything.
Yeah.
Because that would be... So she does need to improve her French also because I think... I guess it's probably the national language of Genovia. And I assume she's had to speak French with her grandmother most of the other time because her grandmother gets mad at her whenever she speaks to her in English.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Did I miss anything major? Like the, like I said with the plot, there's like all these small details.
There's all these really small random major? Things.
I guess we can say it like what... So I probably read this book when I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, I was like nine.
Yeah, because it would have cut it like it came out when I was seven. Yeah, seven. So like, I think she's supposed to be your age, Sam, isn't she?
I think so.
Yeah. And so
yes, roughly.
Yeah, I think she is. And so there was a lot that I didn't like pick up on in terms of like how good the writing was. And I think that was my biggest thing is just like the way that she's such a funny writer. It's also like very of a style. Like it feels like those 2000s chick litty kind of like Helen Fielding, Sophie Kinsella-esque kind of books, but like, obviously with an American twist and it's written through a YA lens. But I just forgot how fucking like well created all of like these little side bits are that make the book so good because really it's just, it's like a Cinderella story. She's a high school girl. She finds out she's a princess.
We should rewatch that movie.
She's a Cinderella story. She's trying to kiss a boy. But it's like really, I don't know, it's really good. That's what stood out for me. What about you guys?
Probably what honestly stood out for me is the like that I would have missed previously. Was just like the constant references to Princess Diana.
Yes.
And like also the thing is that her hair is like short and blonde. She's going very like people's princess, Princess Diana. They're referencing it a lot because also even, oh, this is really good when they find out that she's a princess, and the media is at the school. I know that I highlighted this because I thought it was incredible.
While you look for it, I will say that like she is into Greenpeace. She's a vegetarian. It's very like, it is very that Princess Diana-ish commoner. I know Diana wasn't a commoner, but that idea. And also the paparazzi, because she gets crazy paparazzi'd when people find out about her. Mallory did not highlight this.
I highlighted it. I just can't find my highlights of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What is it, like a reference to Di?
It is the one where they're in algebra class. Geometry. Oh, we know it's algebra. She's failing algebra. That's the important
thing. Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. One of the other things, I forgot how significant algebra was to this plot. And I will say, rereading it, I've realized I don't remember a single thing from
it was algebra. Highlighted.
Yeah, there was literally the part where they talk about the quadratic equation. I was like, no, I know I learned this and I know I was good at it, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, go, Mel. Read us.
People kept jumping. Today in algebra, Mr. Gianni was trying to teach us about the Cartesian plane, but nobody could pay attention because of all the news vans outside. People kept jumping up to lean out the windows and yell at reporters, "You killed Princess Di. Bring back Princess Di." So then Mr. Gianni had to have a talk with us about whether the media was really to blame for killing Princess Diana, or maybe it was the fact that the guy driving the car she was in might have been drunk. And then somebody tried to say the driver hadn't been drunk, but he'd been poisoned, and it was all a plot by the British Secret Service. And Mr. Gianni said, "Could we please come back to reality now?" And then Lana Weinberger asked how long I'd known I was a princess, and I couldn't believe she was actually asking me a question without being snotty about it. And I was like, I don't know, a couple of weeks or something. And Lana said if she found out she was a princess, she would go straight to Disney World. And I said, no, you wouldn't, because you'd miss cheerleading practice. And then she said she didn't see why I didn't go to Disney World, since I'm not even that involved in extracurricular activities. And then Lily started in on the Disneyfication of America and how Walt Disney was actually a fascist. And then everybody started wondering if it was really true about his body being cryogenically frozen under the castle in Anaheim. And then Mr. Gianni was like, could we please return to the Cartesian plane?
It's so good. The writing is so good.
It also like aged remarkably well. Like there were obviously things that didn't, but for the most part, mm-hmm. I was like, this is like not bad.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so funny. There is the part to it, like even just the part at the beginning when she's talking about Josh Richter for the first time and she's like, he buys Drakkar Noir. So like, blah, blah, blah. I got like the little thing and I smell it under my pillow or whatever, like the tester or whatever. And then she's like, she goes off on the whole tangent about like, Josh Richter is like really, he's actually a sensitive person. He just like doesn't know how to let it out. And then she's like, Lily thinks that I'm like, Lily thinks that I like, I can't even remember what it is. I read it to Izzy and I was laughing so hard. And he's like, I don't get this. I'm like, how do you not? It's so funny.
Because
like
the way that she girl. Just
bounces around. I know.
It's like it's bounces around. I want to know how old Meg Cabot was when she wrote it, because like the tone is so true to a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is so good. Anything else stand out on the reread as we read it as adults? The only other thing I'll say is like I feel like 14 is so young now.
I do feel like 14 is so young,
because when I read it I probably was like high school, like that's so crazy, and now I feel like that is so young.
I think that it is so young, but I do like have to go back and be like, you like thought that like you were like a grown-up, like, when you were 14. Like, so, like, I do also understand, like, I'm also, like, trying to, like, place myself back in being 14 and being, like, you may think those people are really, really young now, but remember when you were 14, like, you were, like, yes.
On, like, a very tangentially related note, I was watching The Summer I Turned Pretty, speaking of book to movie adaptations, and, like, had an existential crisis because I realized that that was maybe the first movie I watched where I literally was like, Belly's supposed to be 15 and I'm watching this movie and I'm like, I am like way closer in age to the mom in this movie than to the main character. And I was like, I can't watch this. I mean, I did finish watching it, but I was like, this is
her dad.
I don't like this.
Mia's dad is 39.
Yeah, because she's, because they had her when they were 25. Yeah.
In Gilmore Girls, Lorelai is 32.
I know, that's insane. That's insane. Oh,
I know, because, well, yeah, Mia's half my age, exactly half my age. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's wild.
Wild. It's
but, oh, well.
I feel like a lot of things I have to, like, say are stuff, like, opposed to the movie. But I do want to just talk about minor characters that are not included in the movie.
Do you want to do that now or save it for the end?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you want. You're the boss.
Actually, let's just talk about the movie now. Yeah, so the movie came out like almost directly after. As Mallory said, pretty significant changes. They like, her dad is dead in the movie. She lives in San Francisco. She's not blonde.
Grandmère is
nice. Not with
Grandmère is like a Disney like fairy godmother. She's Julie Andrews. She's not Lucille Bluth. What else?
Imagine if they would have gotten Jessica Walters.
Oh my god, it would have been so good. That's who I have on my casting. I bring her back from the dead, honestly. What other massive changes? Oh, they like they change some of the characters around. So Boris doesn't exist. He's Jeremiah. I think they were just like, we don't want to cast a Russian person.
They didn't want to cast a Russian person. They didn't want to cast
Tina's not in it.
Tina is all-time incredible characters because she's, and Tina is the catalyst for the ice cream cone that
gets Mia smushed gives. Into Mandy Moore's chest.
Yes, which does
I always forget it's Mandy Moore
in the book, but it's because she.
I always remember it's Mandy Moore because she was dating Andy Roddick.
Oh God. So the point is, Tina is like this kind of weird outcast because her dad's super rich and like
she has a bodyguard.
She has a bodyguard that has to come to school with her every single day, which is super. They think is super weird. So no one really hangs out with her. But then after Lily and Mia get in their fight, which is actually pretty much over Mia's hair color.
Yeah, in the movie, it's about how like how she gets her makeover. In the book, it's because this is probably for me maybe what's aged the worst is that Lily has a cable access television show, which is the fucking funniest thing.
Well, Shut Up and Listen is a better name for
it's
the show.
So, so funny.
Which, what is the name of the show in this? It's like Lily tells it like it is. That's what
Lily tells it like it is. And she's very, I mean, her characters age really well because I think people would refer to her as like an SJW, like very to like the worst extent that could be like wielded or whatever. But she's very involved in stuff. And I love in the book the fact that their parents are psychoanalysts and the parents psychoanalyze people. And then Michael and Lily like psychoanalyze each other when they're like fighting is incredibly fucking funny. It is so funny.
Michael and Lily are incredible siblings.
Incredible siblings.
Well-written as siblings.
It's so good. But she goes on like, she has a lot of these tangents. And one of her things is she goes to this deli and they charge her an extra 5 cents. And she launches this campaign that the Hose Deli, where like Asian American people or Asian immigrants are racist against Jewish people or just white people in general.
They're just racist to people who are not Asian.
Who are not Asian. Because Lin Xu
got charged a nickel less.
Because she, And so she starts this boycott campaign of Ho's Deli. Has not aged well at all. Fully acknowledge that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's also not supposed to be a good, legitimate boycott. Like, everyone in the book is like, this is stupid. What are you doing?
Yeah. And Mia is one of those people. And that's what they like. That's largely like, that's the kind of catalyst of them falling out, compiled with other stuff where Lily's just being Lily. And yeah, but in the movie, it's literally just because she gets her makeover and she's like,
it's just essentially because she gets her makeover, because they're arguing because Lily is shooting the Ho's Deli thing. She is shooting on the Saturday that Mia gets her makeover.
Right. And then she shows up. Yeah.
And then she shows up and she's like, is this what you're doing all day?
Yeah.
Like, your hair looks stupid. Like, you're trying to be Lana, like all of this.
Yeah.
And then she's like, shut up. Stop being annoying. I don't. think that your Ho's boycott is that important.
The other major difference is, so Lars doesn't exist. Lars is her dad's bodyguard. He becomes her bodyguard, driver slash bodyguard. And in the movies, it's Joe, and then Joe like starts dating Grammer, which is very funny.
Something that is very important is that Grandmare tells the press, not Paolo.
Grammer is the one that tips off the press that Mia exists in the book. And yeah, it's Paolo in Paolo, who is also played by the same guy who plays the dad in 10 Things I Hate About You. One of the greatest characters.
Oh my God, you're right.
Time. Yep.
What if we just read Twelfth Night as our
Taming of the Shrew?
Oh, Taming of the Shrew.
If we read Twelfth Night,
the man, which is Twelfth Night.
If we read Twelfth Night, Vanessa would do it because her favorite movie is She's the Man. She loves that movie.
We could just do both.
We tried to get her to read YA. We're not getting her to read Shakespeare.
That's true.
She was like, I don't know if I can read a book. And we're like,
she'll read the Cliffs Notes like she did in high school, probably.
Written for a fifth grader to read. I think you can do it.
And then, like, there's other stuff. Like, yeah, the car. She's like, she has the Mustang. And that's, like, a big thing in the movie. She doesn't have it, obviously. She lives in New York.
The entire relationship with Michael is 100% slowed down. Like,
yeah, very different.
Nothing really happens with Michael.
Yeah,
this book.
Yeah, and then there's other like minor stuff, but like I will say about the movie, I think they did a really I will say this: they cast the movie really well for the movie that they wrote. Mm-hmm. I think that Anne Hathaway is really, really good in that movie. I rewatched some clips today and I forgot that like she's such a good like slapstick like comedy actress. Like, she's so good. I know that she got shit on for like being annoying, whatever. She's really good. The girl plays Lily, really good. Michael Moskowitz, one of my number one like early crushes, embarrassingly. Now that I look at him, I'm like, you look like you should have been in Oasis. This is deeply concerning for like how I felt about men when I was whatever 10. And like Julie Andrews is good for the role that they wrote. Obviously it's not the same as the movie or as the book, but whatever, whatever. What else do you want to say about the movie, Mal? Name the characters that got screwed.
Yeah. Boris, I mean, I think that they
number
make
one.
Mia and Lily a lot less cool of people. Like, they make, like, they definitely have friends and they have multiple friends and they like they have their own little group of people they hang out with. Like, Shamika helps with the show.
She also becomes a bigger character later on, I think.
Yeah,
isn't her dad like a record producer?
They have other
something?
Ones pardon
isn't her dad like a record producer?
I think so.
That's the other
all
thing.
All these people go to like this like rich school. So they're all like rich kids.
That's the other reason why it's like, you're like, Mia, like, do you not understand you are going to like the Gossip Girl school? Like, you're going to an Upper East Side like school. Like, how do you get there? Your mom is a struggling artist.
Well, she's like, my dad pays for everything. She thinks her dad is like the mayor of somewhere in Genovia.
Yeah.
Like, she knows her dad's a politician and she knows he lives in Genovia. Yeah. And she's like, I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's that like, very like,
and he pays for my things and yeah, all of this.
But it's that very like, she just doesn't under like, not like privilege, but not in like a bad way. Just like, she just doesn't realize.
Oh yeah. One that, of like, the great things, the revelation is a lot longer because not the like, you're a princess, shut up or whatever situation. Yeah. He's like, I'm the Prince of Genovia. And she's like, okay. And he's like, that means that you're the Princess of Genovia. And she's like, hold on. Like, cause she takes it perfectly fine with him, like telling her that he's the prince. She's like, okay, interesting, cool. And then she goes and cries in the plaza bathroom, which is really great. There are a lot of references to Donald Trump, which is very funny.
There's a lot of references to the Baldwins. She yes. keeps referring like to be a Baldwin is to like be hot. I'm like,
yes,
that's weird now.
I think that it's a lot funnier of how anticlimactic both like events are or whatever, because they lead up to like the Genovian like state dinner or whatever in the booby, yeah. and also some like beach bash thing.
Yes.
Which is all combined into one thing, which is the cultural diversity dance, which is a school dance held at Albert Einstein High School.
Incredible.
But apparently for some reason also Josh Richter called paparazzi too.
And also Michael Moskowitz tried to claim the internet is a culture.
And the computer club was boycotting it because they wouldn't announce like Satanism as like something.
Very
okay, something else, which I think this was before we were recording, we were talking about how it would be a good TV series, because something that makes sense is that they spend less time at school in the movie, but they spend so much time at school, specifically in the gifted and talented class where they keep locking Boris in the closet,
which is so funny. Boris the Russian exchange like musical prodigy. He's I love when incredible. He's like, I tipped over a can of like cement, whatever it's called.
Rubber cement.
And I'm starting to like feel dizzy or lightheaded or something. Oh, and he tucks also, his sweater into his pants.
He tucks his sweater. Yeah. She, Mia hates Boris because he tucks his sweater vest into his jeans, which she thinks looks stupid.
Which she and repeatedly says is not American.
And also, he's a mouth breather.
He is a mouth breather, yeah.
So.
Unfortunately.
Oh, one other great thing is that both Mia and her dad love Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. Which is such a great.
Like, her dad is actually, like, one of my favorite characters. I think he's so funny. And I think the relationship between the mom and him and Grandmare is so fucking funny. Like I just love it so much, because the other thing about it being epistolary is like you're not getting full background stuff, so you're just getting Mia's like impressions of it, but the way that Meg Cabot's able to like slowly seed stuff in, like, so in this book she dances with Michael, but they're not together, there's not like a big thing. It's basically her realizing, she's like, oh, I think I have a crush on him, basically, not them like making out and riding off into the sunset or whatever. That takes a while in the books. But there's a moment where like she's going on the date with Josh Richter and Michael like looks at Lars and he's like, are you going with her on this date? And that's the moment where she's like, she says something like, whatever, this is just like men being men. But in reality, you're like, no, he loves her. Or when he's like, he writes a song called like Tall Drink of Water, and you're like, that's about you, Mia, you fucking idiot.
And she's, oh my, like, gosh. And song. Also when she thinks, she's like, he asks her what she's doing on Saturday, and she's like, I ran away because I knew he was gonna ask if I wanted to work on my algebra homework. And like, because he's tutoring her in algebra during the Gifted and Talented,
it's incredible.
And like, she's like, he's gonna ask me if I wanted to work on my math homework, and I don't want to do it.
It's just so good. Okay, anything else before we get to the categories that we want to say?
Oh, something else that is especially great, this continues on, is it is a diary, and like it'll have like little, she'll have her homework and she'll have like notes on like algebra things and like and her little lists, which is so funny.
It's really, really funny. Okay, Sam, when do you have to go?
Shortly.
Huh?
Soon.
Okay. Okay, categories. So we made, I think there's five, four. One, two, three, four, five, six, technically. No, 5-1 is a rating. So we named this after hockey players because, you know what? We're trying to keep
we are a hockey podcast.
So the first one is the Jonathan Bernier Award for Best Quote, which I just chose Jonathan Bernier for people that don't know. Just look up Jonathan Bernier and Nelson Mandela. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to go with, so I have a different one.
No. I have a lot.
Okay.
I have a lot. I'm not going to lie.
Sam, because we have plenty to pick from, so.
Okay. There are a lot of candidates, but actually my favorite list in the book is Lily Moskowitz's list of hottest guys.
So funny.
Because I wanted to go through and, like, obviously not Josh or Boris, but, like, the rest of it, like, is worthy of debate.
Leo DiCaprio's on there, right?
Mm-hmm. Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah, there's a
Daniel
lot of,
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Like,
Prince William did not age well. Literally did not age well. Leonardo DiCaprio. Mr. Wheaton, the crew coach, not real. I like the generic, the guy in the jeans ad on the giant billboard in Times Square. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman's boyfriend. And Joshua Bell, the violinist.
Incredible. It's a very funny list.
It is a very funny list. And I, like, it's the type of list that you could still debate now.
I also loved Grammar's pop quiz. Very funny. Very funny. What do you say when a man tells you he loves you? And the answer is, thank you. That's nice of you. And then she gets a point off because you're not supposed to say thank you. You're supposed to say that's nice. And then it's also, how do you make a sidecar?
It's so good. Which also, apparently, yeah, Grammer's always drinking sidecars.
She's one of her and Emily. From Gilmore Girls, with some of the greatest grandmothers of all time.
Okay,
Mal, do you want to go? Wait, or do I you have want me to go.
I just, like, we forgot to talk about Norman.
Oh my god, Norman!
Because I was like going through my highlights and I have something which is about Norman.
Norman is Lily's stalker foot who is obsessed with her feet.
He's a foot fetishist and he's crazy and he's stalking her due to the public access show and Lily is torturing him.
She tries to do an episode on her feet. That's one of my lines.
Yeah, I have. Okay. Which is the Norman has kind of thick glasses and I bet he couldn't actually hit anything, even with a machine gun, which even a lunatic like Norman is allowed to buy in this country, thanks to our totally unrestricted gun laws, which Michael Moskowitz says in his webzine will ultimately result in the demise of democracy as we know it.
Incredible. Going off that, one of mine is Lily's very upset about how her parents are violating her First Amendment rights to free speech by not letting her make the episode of her show dedicated to her feet. She's going to call the ACLU as soon as it opens on Monday morning. Without her parents' financial support, which they have currently revoked, Lily tells it like it is, cannot go on. It costs about $200 per episode if you include the cost of tape and all. Public access is only accessible to people with cash.
It's so good.
Did I freeze?
You did freeze in the middle of it, but I was reading the same thing alongside it.
Okay.
Well, you said she's going to call the ACLU as soon as it opens Monday morning, then you froze.
That's fine. Okay, what other ones do you have, Mel?
Okay. I have the one where her dad says that she's going to have to go to summer school in Genovia if she doesn't pass algebra. And she says, I met some kids in Genovia and they don't even know what a number line is. They all use the metric system. So funny. Oh, my God. Okay, here it is. Wait, this one is really good. Oh, so she also keeps getting denied from the plaza, which is a really funny part. They keep not letting her in.
Because she wears cutoffs or Doc Martens or whatever.
This one is really good. First, the doorman won't let me in. Big surprise. Then he sees Lars, who is like 6'7" and must weigh 300 pounds. Plus, Lars has this bulge sticking out of his jacket, and I only just now figured out that it's a gun and not the stump of an extraneous third arm, which was what I originally thought. I was too embarrassed to ask him about it, in case it dredged up painful memories for him of being teased as a child in Amsterdam or wherever he is from. I mean, I know what it's like to be a freak. It's just better to not kind of bring that kind of thing up.
So good. Okay, I have, so one of the classic ones is mom's been depressed ever since her last boyfriend turned out to be a Republican, aged very well. I also have when she finds out that her dad can't have kids anymore. Mom says he's really bummed out. She says we have to be very understanding of him right now because men have needs, and one of them is to be one of them is the need to feel progenitively omnipotent. And then at the very end of the chapter, she has written need to look up progenitively and omnipotent. And then also on that same page, she's talking about her parents and how they never got married. And she says, I mean, he never married my mom. My mom says that's because at the time she rejected the bourgeois mores of a society that didn't even accept women as equals to men and refused to recognize her rights as an individual. I kind of always thought that maybe my dad just never asked her. And I laughed so hard.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
another incredible list. This is homework from Princess Lessons. She had to come. Grandmère did not like this list, but it's the 10 women I admire most in the world by Mia Thermopolis, which is Madonna, Princess Diana, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Pickabaw Street, Leona Mae Harmon, Joan of Arc, Christie, who is just some random fictional character, the Lady Cop I once saw, Lily Moskowitz, Helen Thermopolis. And then yeah. She wrote this entire essay about it, and then Grandmère tore it up because she thought it was not good. And she also then calls Princess Diana a twink.
So, oh my God. I also have, which this is when she's talking about how her and her dad love Beauty and the Beast. We always go to see Beauty and the Beast, my all-time favorite Broadway musical. I don't care what Lily says about Walt Disney being and his misogynistic undertones. I've seen it 7 times. Incredible.
Oh my God, this is so
ahead of its time.
I'm sorry.
Ahead of its time.
This one is really good. This is the day that all of the media is at her school. The first day, like after the article, which gets published in the Post, which I think is extremely funny. It was really weird when we pulled up to Albert Einstein. All the people who normally hang around outside before school starts, smoking and sitting on Joe, the stone lion, were all clustered into these groups looking at something. I suppose somebody's dad has been accused of money laundering again. Parents can be so self-centered. Before they go and do something illegal, they should totally stop and think about how their kids are going to feel if they get caught.
Incredible. Okay. Bye, Sam. Okay. Sam is leaving, so it's just Mallory and I. Okay, next category, the Mark Borowiecki Award for Best Character. I actually found this really hard because there's so many. And also, like, the other thing is I remember at least the first 4 books. And some of the characters, like, they get better or, like, things happen to them. So it's, like, hard to judge them just on this book alone. But I really liked her dad. I said this already, but like I found her dad
to be very, very funny.
Having
her dad not be in the movie.
Yeah, is just terrible. And I also really liked, I just really like Mia. Like sometimes it's weird because she's like carrying the whole book. So it's like you think going into it's like, oh, you'll like the person. But that doesn't always happen. And in this, I just like really liked the way that she was written. And part of it's because I didn't remember the exact like cadence of the book or how it was written like that. But yeah, I really liked her. What about you, Mel?
I love Tina Hakimbaba. She's so much fun.
She also gets like, she becomes more fully rounded in the
later
books.
Because the
she's
thing
my
is,
favorite
like,
character in the
only
whole
through like half of the book they actually start talking to her.
Yeah.
And honestly, I love Mia. I love Grandmère. I think she's fun.
I really like Michael. He's a really, like, him and Lily, like, just, they're really good.
Him and Lily's, like, banter is really great. Yeah, we were saying that they made both Lily and Grandmère more likable in the movie. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I don't think that they're likable here. It's just that they're, like, more, like, they're a harder pill to swallow.
She's very Paris, like, Geller-esque. I keep making yes. Gilmore Girls references, but, like, Lily's very Paris-like, except leftist. Mm-hmm. Like, very leftist.
Also, I love that just a little, like, the thing is that there's just, like, little notes that, like, Mia writes in, like, it's just, like, little facts about people, which I think are so funny, which is that Tina Hakkabaa always reads the end of her romance novels before she actually even starts them.
Yeah,
she's also obsessed with romance novels. She reads them all the time.
She's Sam. That's what Sam does. Sam reads the end yes. of books first. Very funny.
So
I just love, like, the little, obviously, like, we love Fat Louis, though he's more seen in the movie mm-hmm. than the book, I would say. There's just, like, the little characters, like all the teachers at the school too, like Mrs. Hill, who, like, teaches the gifted and talented class, very funny. Mademoiselle Klein, she becomes a little bit more rounded in the other books, mm-hmm. but she's also very funny. Obviously Boris, like, just the little characters, even like Norman, incredibly funny. The doctors Moskowitz, very funny. Yeah.
I will say that this book, published in the year 2000, has trans representation.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Her neighbor
Ronnie.
Yes.
Okay. Next, the Henrik Lundqvist Award for what aged the best. So I kind of said mine already. I just think the way it's written has aged really well for people. It's very ADHD-ish, to yes. be honest. Like, when I'm reading it, I was like, does she have ADHD?
She just hops all over the place.
Or is she just a 14-year-old girl? But it, because it, yeah, like, it's not full of messy prose. It's very, like, straightforward. So I think for me, that's that, and just, like, the characterization of people has aged the best. Because I do think, like,
yeah,
while some of the archetypes are, like, Lana's the blonde cheerleader mean girl, Josh Richter's the stupid jock, like, they have aged well. Like, you can see them translated into 2022, you know, like, you can see what Lily would be like in 2022, you can see Mia in 2022, you can see Lana and Josh and Michael and, like, all these people.
Yeah. And like, the even, like, yeah, the, like, villains, like, situation, like, people who aren't fully fleshed out, like Lana and Josh.
Yeah, like, also Lana has a redemption arc in this series, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
They become friends later, I'm pretty sure. But in the latest book, or do you not want me to spoil it?
I haven't read the latest one.
Okay, I won't say anything then. I was gonna say what their characters do now, but it's fine. Okay.
No spoilies.
Anything else for you about Age the Best?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the writing of it, like, is, it's just so much fun. And I also like, something that I think is real is, like, when she's talking about her dad, she's talking about how they, like, he tells her about being a princess when they're at high tea at the plaza. And she's like, I used to think it was really cool. And she's like, she still, like, loves Beauty and the Beast, but she, like, went there when she was a kid and, like, all of that. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that's, like, especially since she only sees her dad, like, during the summers usually. I think it's, like, very interesting of, like, her dad only still seeing her as, like, a kid, even though
mm-hmm.
all of that. I think that it's just, like, weird to think of also. There's a whole thing about, like, Lily being, like, very, like, getting angry about, like, the monarchy. which is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, also poignant, because, like, I think that anybody rationally is like, who the fuck still has a monarchy? They are a principality, actually, though. It's not a monarchy. Mm-hmm. I will say that.
Yeah, because I was trying to, because in my head I'm reading and I'm like, why is he not the king?
No, it's a principality.
But it's a principality, yes. Which makes sense.
Is what Monaco is, but
yeah.
Because it's like essentially like Monaco still exists, but there's like another little like Andorra-esque place.
Yeah.
Like imagine there is an Andorra in between France and Italy.
Isn't that what San Marino is? Isn't that what San Marino
is? San Marino's in Italy.
Oh, it's in Italy? Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oops. It's completely surrounded.
Okay.
But because later she does say that they have lots of cousins in Monaco.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Jamie Benn Award for What's Aged the Worst, also known as Would Vanessa Jang Understand This Reference?
Okay. I was saying
that's also, I think we should make two categories. We should have What's Aged the Worst, and then the next category should be the Vanessa Jang Award for Does This Reference. Okay.
Well, the Vanessa Jang Award I have is that multiple times she's very annoyed because she can't get on the phone because Michael's on the computer.
Yes. That one for sure. The Baldwin references, the Party of Five references.
They also, at one point, this is dated even for her. She's claiming that she looks like some grandmère is buying her clothes that make her look like the daughter on the Love Boat.
Yeah.
It was like, the Love Boat is not even.
Yeah. That's where you can feel Meg Cabot's like cultural references.
Yeah.
I did take a picture of the book where at one point she, like, she runs. So after her dad tells her, she like runs away and goes to the Central Park Zoo, and then she shows up at her parents' house. And she says, basically, like, she had to apologize for pulling a Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I took a picture and I sent it to the group chat. And I said, Vanessa, do you know who this is? And she said, yes, that's the girl in Scooby-Doo. And I said, that's Sarah Michelle Gellar. But then she did know who it was, which I was shocked about. I didn't expect her to know Jennifer Love Hewitt. But that one's also weird because it's funny to read these books and be like, these people were at the height of their like cultural, like height of the zeitgeist. And now they're just like, no one knows who they are. Like people wouldn't necessarily know who they are, which is very funny. Always. Okay. So that's the kind of Vanessa Jang-ish. So what's Aged the Worst? What do you say?
My thing is that I know that Michael and Mia date later and he is like 18 and she is 14 and they start dating later. Well, she's definitely in high school and he's in college.
It's
like,
know.
Imagine like a 20-year-old dating a 16-year-old. That's gross.
But also Josh Richter is dating Lana and Lana's who definitely also 14. Is
like supposed to be like, she's in all the same classes as Mia. So.
And he's a senior too. And they're talking about like going to parties and getting people like deliberately drunk and stuff. It's like tough. It's, yeah.
I think that they should have at least made Michael a junior. I think I would feel more comfortable if Michael was like 17.
Even. Yeah. Well, and I also, because I think in the movie she's
16.
15 or 16. Yeah. Because she drives.
She's turning 16.
Yeah. Because she drives. So it's a little bit less creepy, but it also, it gets creepy because he goes to Columbia and they're dating, which is just, that's a lot. That's a lot. I guess like not in any way to like make this better, but like she's 5'9". So at least she's not like tiny.
She's not tiny. At least she's like a tiny tall, like child girlfriend.
She like theoretically looks older than she is, but like it's weird. It's real weird. I think that's like a very classic teen trope of like the freshman and the senior kind of thing, which yeah, is
anybody looking back is like, ooh, gross. No,
very gross. It's just, no, I mean, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like a lot of people, especially when you start talking about like age gaps in relationships, you're like, age gaps in relationships really matter when people are developing like as humans.
Particularly like, not to get super deep or heavy or whatever, with like power dynamics and with like women being able to say no to things. Like,
yes,
it's a significant thing, especially high school girls.
So
I will say they don't have sex until she's 18.
Begging
in the books.
for Michael to be a junior or a young senior.
Let me just stake my ground here, because I should have said this earlier. Justice for Michael fucking Moskowitz, because he is a little nerd boy. In the books, he makes like this special like medical arm thing. He designs it, becomes this like robotics like genius or whatever. He donates it to Genovia. He's just like this lovely man. And then in the movies, they fuck him over.
They for completely some fuck him over.
Bullshit.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine, who I don't know, what is he, a Duke or something? I don't know. Nicholas. I am so mad about this. I've been mad for 20 years, basically, or however long, 16 years. It's unbelievable. Though, one of the things I do love about the books is later on, I don't know if you remember this, she talks about how they made her life into a movie and how they made grammar nice. And I think she might mention the Michael thing, but like definitely is like, this is a fucking joke. Like, they made grammar look like super nice, and that is a crime. One of the other crazy things about grammar, sorry, sidetrack, is she has her eyeliner tattooed on her face, which I think is just like that is the level of like her character details that just, you know, that person then, you know, like that small thing, or the fact that she has this dog named Rommel. Who like
wears sweaters because he's shaved.
It's just so good. Okay. Anything else for What's Age of the Worst? I have Michael's webzine called Crackhead. There's a lot of crack references, which are just like weird. That was one of the What's Age of the Worst. And then like the Hose Deli storyline is just like, it would just be different, you know? I think it'd just be written differently.
Yeah,
particularly like with what's happened in the last couple years, you're not gonna claim that AAPI people are the cause.
Oh my god. But actually though, there's this really good Lily quote. Let me see it. Oh, I just found it.
What about the Holocaust?
Oh, something that's really great is that also it is implied that Mia is just making Lars carry her diary around. That is how she's writing all the time. She does not have a bag. She is just making Lars carry it for her.
It's
because she's always like, these are like in the moment. She's like hiding in the bathroom. She's writing a lot during Gifted and Talented, doing stuff of that nature. Okay, here it is. This is about the Lily Tells It Like It Is episode on Hose Deli that she does watch at Tina Hakambaba's house, because they have a fun little sleepover. After also Grandmère says that Tina Hakambaba is a much better friend, like caliber of friend for, because she's like
the daughter of an oil sheik.
Yeah. Okay. At the end, Lily came on and did a segment. She must have shot the night before of the tripod in her bedroom. She sat on her bed and said that racism is a powerful force of evil that all of us must work to combat. She said that even though paying 5 cents more for a bag of Ginkgo Biloba rings may not seem like much to some of us, victims of real racism, like the Armenians, the Rwandans, and the Ugandans and the Bosnians, would recognize that the 5 cents was only the first step on the road to genocide. Lily went to say on that because of her daring stand against the Hose, there was a little bit more justice on the side of right today. I don't know about that, but I did start to miss her when she waggled her feet in their furry bear claw slippers into the camera as a tribute to Norman.
It's just incredible. The Norman thing is so fucking funny.
Oh my gosh. This is the paragraph before this. It says, this is the episode dedicated to exposing the unjust racism at Hose Deli. It was filmed before Lily called off the boycott due to lack of interest. It was a very hard-hitting piece of television news journalism, and I can say that without bragging, since I wasn't involved in its creation. If Lily Tells It Like It Is ever went network, I bet it would be as highly rated as 60 Minutes.
Incredible. It's, yeah. Lily so is funny. Very, very funny. I will say that. She's very, very funny. Okay. this one doesn't have a name. This is just cast the 2022 movie version or cast hockey players as the characters.
I will say I did read Princess in the Spotlight, which is the second one. Brock Besser is Hank.
Yes, that Hank is very true.
Is her,
her like backwoods cousin from Indiana.
Who comes from Versailles, Indiana. And he then he becomes a Calvin Klein model in New York.
Yeah. Just yet another incredible character. Meg Cabot is from Indiana, we should say. So that's why probably her mom is from Indiana in the book. Okay. I have, first of all.
Okay. Well, I don't like the casting. Thing is, like, I want to like cast like actually like age accurate, but I don't know any 14-year-old actors.
Genuinely, that was one of my problems. So I was like, you know what? We're going to solve, I guess. So the problem with the fact that like you want to fix the weird age gap between Mia and Michael is that she has to be 14 because she has to be oblivious enough not to realize she was a princess. So you basically have to age him younger, essentially. And like, I don't know anyone. The only child actors I know
are like— We can just be like aging people weirdly, okay?
Yeah, I think it's the only— I think what the way I did it was like, I would cast these people and just like, but when they were at the age that would work for it. So like, you'd like take this actor, but like they'd be
15. Oh my gosh. You know who I want as Mia. Actually, she might make a better Lily, honestly. I don't know. Kiernan Shipka.
Yeah, that's, she would be a very good Lily, I think.
But like, I feel like that'd be great.
Yeah, she'd be very good. Okay, I have, for Mia, I had Rowan Blanchard, who's the, she played the like daughter in the Girl Meets World.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing, but then she was in, recently in this like, queer show on, I think, Hulu. What the fuck was it called?
I'm sorry, I cannot help you out here.
I'm going to find it with one of the girls from what's that show called? The main girl in Moana.
Okay.
It's called, sorry, it's not a show, it's a movie. It's called Crush. It's a story about a teen girl joining her high school track team to get closer to her crush, only to find out she's getting closer to another teammate. So yeah, it's a very sweet little like high school lesbian romance. Anyway, she's very good. And she, for me, like Mia has to have brown hair because she's Anne Hathaway. And I will say Anne Hathaway is the perfect Mia, but that's fine. For Michael Moskowitz, Timothy Chalamet, come at me. I don't care.
Okay.
He screams
Timothy Chalamet. Okay, have you seen that one Timothy Chalamet where they're like, he's like, it's like there's like this teacher and she's taking them to like a forensics thing and he's like very like psychosexually obsessed with her?
No.
Okay, well.
That changes.
No, I'm thinking that like, oh, that he's like in high school-ish. It's like, yeah. What is it called?
He just has that remember. Like, because the thing is for Michael, you have to like, you can't be classically handsome. Like,
you have to be. Are you saying Timothy Chalamet is not classically handsome?
No, sorry, not classically. I mean, like in the way that all these like younger, like.
Yes, that is true.
You know, they're like built and stuff. Like he can't be built. He like,
yeah, he needs to like be like a scrawny boy. Except he like hangs out in his room. She does talk about him walking around the Moskowitz's apartment without a shirt on and how
he has a nice chest. And that's fair. Timothy Chalamet, I'm sure, has a nice chest, but he's just not like huge. Who do you have for Michael? Anyone? The problem is, which we said, like, just don't know any of like the only teen actors like, I know are Stranger Things,
like young, because they always are like casting like people in their 20s.
Yeah,
I'm like thinking of like honestly he was the only person for Michael, but I do say the kid who played Rickon in Game of Thrones, he is Boris.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Okay, for Lily, I had Anna Cathcart, who is, she plays the youngest sister in the two All the Boys I Loved Before movies.
Okay.
And then I also have Natalie Morales, who I think she's a Disney person, but she was in this movie called Plan B, which is a very wild fucking movie. One of the wildest movies I've ever seen. That's about these two friends who have to, they like, the one friend has unprotected sex or the condom breaks, and she has to go on, they have to go on this like wild road trip to get to a Planned Parenthood.
So I've seen this, but it did not have that title.
Oh, really? It's called Plan B.
I watched it on a plane, I remember.
And it's, the one friend is South Asian? Because there's like multiple movies where they have to go on a road trip.
The one I watched, I think, was called Unpregnant.
No, that's it's a different movie.
And it had,
yeah, the Hayley Lou Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a different one, but it's very, it's fucking insane. Anyway. She's really good in that movie. So I would say her as Lily. And then Josh Richter, that dude from the She's All That remake. Don't know what his name is, but he gives off Josh Richter vibes to me.
What's the dude who's in High School Musical, the series?
The one that all the songs are about?
Joshua Bassett.
Yeah,
also that is Josh. Who is Josh Richter.
That's good. That's good. You could also have then Sabrina Carpenter, the girl, as Lana.
Lana. That would be good.
Possibly. Okay. So for grammar, I had bring back Jessica Walter from the grave.
Yeah, Jessica Walter exhumed.
Like, sorry. It's she is grammar. Like, that's all I could picture when I was watching it is Lucille Bluth holding her fucking martini. For her dad, see, this is where the problem came in, because the dad is supposed to be 39, but it's Stanley Tucci. Like, that's the only, like, bald, like, could be European-esque actor. You could
shave
actor.
People's heads.
I know, but I couldn't think of, like, a European-esque actor, you know?
Yeah, he needs to have, like, a...
Because he does have to be, like... handsome enough, like he's mm-hmm. not like super hot or anything, but he has to be handsome, and he's like a little bit of a playboy.
Interesting.
So anyway, Stanley Tucci is what I thought of, but again, problematic because he's like double the age, or no, he's like,
yeah,
he's in his 60s, I think.
He's definitely
which too old work.
For it.
Yeah. And then because the other issue is, so when I was thinking about the mom, I was like, oh, Olivia Wilde would be good because she has to be like free-spirity, you know? And Olivia okay. Wilde gives off free-spirity vibes. But
that's really funny. I feel like she does not to me.
She does to me. Because she, I think it's just because she dresses in like a boho style.
Interesting.
Despite the fact that
I think it's because her eyebrows are very thin. That's why I don't think that her as a free-spirit.
That's fair. Okay, who do you have for the dad and the mom?
I don't have anybody for the dad or mom. I think that
they were the hardest to cast for me.
Dad, yeah, they're, it's really hard because it's somebody that like. I think the mom is maybe. I don't know.
I honestly like. I couldn't think of like. Like Kate Hudson, like no.
Yeah. I want her to like, there's like a very like specific like vision I see of what it is, but I can't like put a face to that. Very like bohemian.
Yeah.
Also like.
But they're just like, I couldn't think of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I obviously knee-jerked and went to Olivia Wilde, but. I can. It's very like the curly hair, the like.
Yeah, we need to get some. Come get some real like actors, and we can just pick them out from it.
Yeah,
they don't have.
Do you
to
have
be
any
known.
Other hockey casting? Because I kind of fucked up.
I was trying to think, because I was trying to cast Quinn Hughes in, but like, all I could really cast him as was. Somebody who was only ever written as the kid in the cafeteria who gets really mad when they serve chili and there's corn in it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's Quinn Hughes.
Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. Like that's absolutely for sure. Because I think this is in the second book. She has an anonymous admirer, a secret admirer on like AIM / MSN, whatever instant messaging she's using. And she's giving lists of men that it possibly is. And she's like, I bet it's the dude in the cafeteria who always gets mad when there's corn in the chili.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah, that is what he is. Lou Lamorello is Grammar.
Horrible. I was just defending how she's a worse person, but she's actually more interesting and more entertaining.
I mean, like every hockey player is Josh Richter. So
every hockey player is Josh Richter.
And Lana.
Lana as well. I was gonna say that like I'll give Petey like the Boris. Like I think that like they both like have this kind of like weird freak energy.
Mm-hmm.
But also like Boris is dating Lily in the first couple books, and then he later starts dating Tina. So mm-hmm. like it's not like he,
and then he becomes, well, he becomes a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in Michael's band, Skinnerbox.
Oh, do you think that you can come up with somebody who is worthy of being? Oh, actually, though, I was thinking about this just on our Canucks thing. I was thinking about Bo and his wife when I was thinking about the age gap between Michael and Mia.
Yeah, Bo's younger.
Bo's younger. And like they started dating when they were like pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely probably an air like region of time where it was like, this is kind of weird.
I always think it's weird when you like, for whoever leaves high school and then is still dating yeah. someone who's in high school. But I don't know.
I mean, like, Bo wasn't going to school probably, so it wasn't that
didn't really matter. Okay. Last.
She's like, I'm dating a junior hockey player, like, to all of her friends. They're like, oh, really? Okay, cool. Like, is he, like, in his early 20s? She's like,
no, he's 17.
No, he's 17, okay?
Okay, the last thing is rate the book out of 3 stars.
3.
But you can give it, like, you can fuck around with it. If you want. But yeah,
3, I think it's like three, like, Martha Stewart made tiaras, because that does happen in the second book. Martha Stewart makes a tiara.
Just another great yeah. cultural reference.
Pre-prison.
Pre-prison, yep. Yep. 3 stars. Really good book. If you know any tween girls, buy this book for them. I think they'd enjoy it. It's pretty PG.
So it really like, is.
I think there's like one kiss and there's sex mentioned maybe like.
And they talk about kissing. And she talks about her boobs a lot, but
it's fine.
Nothing illicit.
I mean, I'm not like, I was reading like full-fledged romance books when I was like 12. So.
Yeah. I said that I was reading this at like age 9 and that's like probably true.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a really good book. And then watch the movie. The movie's very fun. Apparently they're making a third one.
Really?
Who knows what that'll look like?
I'm sick of them rebooting things, but The Princess Diaries would be so much fun as a TV
series. So the other thing is like, I was thinking about this because the Mindy Kaling Netflix show, which I never remember the name of, but it's the one that John McEnroe.
Never Have I Ever
has very similar vibes to this.
Yes.
Like very similar vibes. And so it's like, it would just make a good TV show. All the little characters. You don't even have to do like multiple seasons, though you can because there's fucking 15 books, but you could just make it like a short, you know.
Oh, we didn't even think of the Stranger Things kids when you're trying to cast things.
I literally said that. I said the only kids I know are the Stranger Kids.
Oh, okay.
Stranger Things kids. Because Millie Bobby Brown would be a good Mia, but she's a little too old now.
I don't think so. I feel like she won it.
I think she'd be fine.
She'd be fine.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about The Princess Diaries?
Meg Cabot deserves a Pulitzer
Prize. Fucking icon. Yeah. She's so good. I love all of her books. Now I'm going to read. Now I need to go back and read her like back catalog of all the books that I've read. But like I read when I was, you know,
I've not 13. Read the Mediator ones.
I haven't read that. I haven't read 1-800.
Where are you? That one is.
Where are you? I've read most of the Princess Diaries ones. I've read the, did you read the like size 12 isn't fat mystery ones?
Yes.
I loved those. Another fantastic characterization. She's like a teen pop star. And then she just wants to have a normal life. Becomes a detective, private detective. It's very good. I've read a bunch of her like one-off ones, like the
The one where she's
the liar pants on fire,
incredible, when she's writing about like it's like the tale of King Arthur, but like
oh yeah, yeah,
high school. It's like a YA thing. So good.
What's the Airhead? Read all those.
Okay.
There's a bunch. She's written like 70 books. Anyway. Okay. Thanks for listening. Let us know if there's books that you want us to do. I'm assuming our next one's probably going to be Sister to the Traveling Pants. Speaking about what's aged the fucking worst in terms of age gap relationships, Sister to the Traveling Pants.
Statutory going. So
we'll discuss that when we get to it. But yeah, let us know if there's any books you want us to read. We're also going to probably announce like the actual solidified Patreon stuff coming up, which will include a monthly Zoom watch of a game for our highest subscribers, and then other little things which we're going to change up for this hockey season. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for subscribing, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Thanks for watching Shut Up and Listen. Now, shut up and watch the new video from Myra called Miracles Happen. Should be